Praise the Lord. You know, oh, Jesus, we're in love with you and we're in love with each other. Amen. It's so wonderful to see the brethren dwelling together in unity and in absolute love for one another. And from the first time I met the Lindleys, I just fell in love with them because I could feel the heartbeat of God and His kingdom beating so strong within them with real authentic faith. And with all the leaders I've met, with Rory and David and, of course, Catherine and Tom and others of you that I've had the privilege of meeting here, oh, my gosh, it's just like this wonderful family. And I have to say that we're so happy to be in HIM with all of you and this global network, not only of Christian church ministry and church planting, but also reaching, you know, into all those mountains of influence within society. And there's such a vision that's been cultivated through Cheon and the other leaders in HIM to bring together a network of lovers of Jesus who will really advance the kingdom of God. I have a couple of words first before I bring the message. And first of all, I'd like our guest from Bougainville to stand up, please. I have a word for you. And I had the privilege of having breakfast this morning with Pastors Rory and David. And oh, my gosh, their heart is so amazing. And they so love you and love your people. And oh, my, they are true champions in the Lord. But what I felt the Lord saying over you is that His blessing is rich upon you. And He said that He's truly called you as the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And He says even how He celebrates the small and makes great waves and great influence out of that which is small, that you and your people in these coming days are going to be made as an arrow in the hand of the Lord that will hit His target. And there are going to be testimonies coming out of your region of the miracle workings of the Spirit of God that are going to bring great glory to God and to those in the earth that hear the testimony. And so He says unto you, rise up with an honor and a dignity in the Lord that belongs to those who believe in Him. And walk uprightly and in faith before Him, because there's miracles, signs, wonders, and shifts in the Spirit. I see a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ advancing in your lives and also to your people. And I see dreams in the night and visions in the day. I see angelic visitations that are going to come all over your region because the Lord has seen the hunger and the thirst of your people. And so I bless you in the name of Jesus. Let's just bless this people. And David and Rory, thank you so much for your faithfulness. I'm just so honored to even have been introduced to you. I mean, these are true champions in the Lord who have remained pure and strong in faith and given in love to the mandates of the Lord and going into the remotest, most uttermost parts of the earth to bring forth His love and His gospel. And you truly, truly deserve the honor. And we just love you and thank you so much. And Catherine, if you could just stand. I just feel like the Lord wants to release a commissioning over you to a whole new level. And, you know, the Lord, He promotes through faithfulness. He promotes through faithfulness. If you are faithful in the little, He'll entrust you with much, because the much carries more weight. It carries more responsibility. It carries bigger problems and all of that. And so you need greater grace, you know. And that's why He promotes through faithfulness. And Catherine, the Lord has said that He's found you faithful. He's found you faithful. And He is so pleased with the fragrance of your faithful devotion unto Him primarily. And the Scripture says that Jesus grew in favor and in wisdom and in stature with God and with man. And the Lord says that in this next season, that there is going to be an increase of the favor of God, an increase of the wisdom of God, an increase of your stature in ministry with God and with man. And he says that healings are going to multiply. And there is a mantle very similar to what Catherine Kuhlman operated in, that you're going to operate in globally. And it's because of your love and your devotion to God. And as I see this vertical flow increasing, and as you increase in your vertical focus, so it will be that the horizontal and the outreach will also focus, says the Lord, will also grow in its target, in its focus, in its end result. And it will be by the Spirit, says the Lord. For the Spirit of God is going to gush forth through you. And He will show you what He is doing, and the power will flow, not just to the ones or twos, but it's going to go en masse. I see you standing before many, many people, and it's like you're going to call out words of knowledge, and a ripple effect of the shakings of God will go through whole auditoriums and open meetings out in fields, and the healing power of Jesus Christ will bring forth great miracles, signs, and wonders. And he says that he's going to open his heart. I see him opening up his heart like a chapter of a book to you. And in the heart, he's going to show you his power to heal and to do miracles and even for the raising of the dead. And he says, I want you to dream and I want you to meditate, because in the Spirit, I want you to enter in through the door of my heart into that place of revelation. Because if you see it, you can have it. And he's going to call you to a people who will not, be able to pay you, but you will raise up the money to serve them. And I see thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars being raised to do like healing crusades for the sick who cannot pay for themselves, who cannot reach out for themselves. And he says he's going to give you a heart of compassion and the faith to go with it to reach them. And there's many, 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 many masses of people. And he says then the testimonies are going to go worldwide. And he says he's calling you to media, media, media. And I see you releasing media, not only the production, but the distribution of media into the nations. I see it going into the remotest places of the earth with the testimony of the Lord. And it's going to reproduce itself. And even your team that goes out on the streets, when the media gets distributed into certain places, it's going to reproduce the mandate. When the crusades are on media, says the Lord, it's going to reproduce the mandate in many, because there's going to be a spirit of faith in it that is unto the spreading of that mantle, of that anointing to others, because you are not one that has ever kept anything to yourself, but that which the Lord has given you, you have given to others. So it is, says the Lord, that you have not only received an inheritance from those who have poured into you in the past, but you're creating a legacy, says the Lord, that will be given to those who are even here after you go on. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to add another piece, and we each have authority to give away what we've received. And I see these books, 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 books. And some of the books and the money from the books is going to help underwrite the crusades, the crusades, the crusades, the crusades. And what I see is your own unique brand. I didn't say publishing house, but brand. And here's what I saw. I saw book after book. Miracles Made Easy. Deliverance Made Easy. Salvation Made Easy. Empowered by the Spirit Made Easy. It's all made easy. And you're going to write this, and the Lord's going to actually give a helper, a writer, to help you do this, and someone, and an underwriter to underwrite the writer. Dude, I want that one. Shabba, I'll take that one. Okay. And but it's miracles made easy, healings made easy, evangelism made easy, it's deliverance made easy, and it's not seeker friendly, but it's made easy for the everyday believer to do the works of Jesus.
Hallelujah. And also in Judges 5, In Judges 5, we read about Deborah and Barak and the song that was sung. But it says, in the song of Deborah and Barak, Deborah says this, that there was oppression in the land until I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. And there's certain places that you're going to go into that are in very, very deep oppression. They're so deep that people can't get out of it themselves. They cannot get out of it themselves. But the Lord has heard their groanings, and He's sending you. And through the preaching of the word, and through the miracles, and through what God is going to do in their midst, the oppression will cease, and they will be set free. So He says, arise, Deborah, arise. And the Lord says that your husband, Tom, is as a lapidoth, which means burning torch. Lapidoth was a burning torch for Deborah. And your husband has come alongside and made the way and been your encouragement. And He says, you're well covered. You're well covered. And that you operate together as one in this mandate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm just going to read one verse of scripture right now. And I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. In the King James Version and in the New King James Version, it uses a certain term that I want to highlight. But it says, and Jesus said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? In other versions, you know, it says my Father's house or whatever. And one day I was in prayer years ago, and you know, I was just meditating on the scriptures, and the Lord had me read, you know, in Luke 2. And I was captured by the word business. The Holy Spirit said, notice that it says there that Jesus was about His Father's business, not about His Father's ministry. And it was just, He just caught my attention. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will catch your attention just with one word in a sermon or one word in an email or something like that. And this was one word in my scripture reading. And He says, I want to show you something. He says, I want to do something with business people in this hour. And before we finish this session today, we're going to release a commissioning, a kingdom commissioning on those of you who are feeling called into business or who are in business at that point. And so the Holy Spirit started to show me different characters within the scripture. Like He started with Abraham, and He said, my son Abraham, who is the father of faith, was not like a pastor of a church. He was actually a businessman called to leave the land of the Chaldeans with an established agricultural business. And he left there. He left his family and left to follow God. And God increased him and multiplied him. And all throughout Abraham's life, you'll see an increase of commodities such as sheep and goats and gold and silver and even armies and servants. And I mean, he just kept growing and growing and growing in his influence. In fact, he became so well known in the land because of the blessing of the Lord upon him that even nations around him respected and honored and feared him. And because of his relationship with God, and it was evident through the blessing on business that he was in covenant with God. And so the Lord highlighted this to me, and then other Bible characters, and he started speaking to me about, and this was before the Seven Mountain teaching was being cultivated, and I'm so thrilled with that teaching because it's just spread worldwide, and it's just been amazing all the different people that God has chosen worldwide to birth that message. They've done such an amazing job to make us aware of what Father is inviting us to really go as kingdom people with the gospel of the kingdom and influencing different realms in society. You know, it's just awesome, you know. It's what we're made for because it's our Father's world. But he started speaking to me specifically about business anointing. And in my own personal testimony, I have never been motivated unto business as I was growing up or anything. My father was a businessman. He actually owned his own business, Success Motivation, for companies. So he used to train executives of companies to increase production and stuff like that. But I always wanted to be two things growing up. I wanted to be a nurse and I wanted to be a teacher. So when I was in high school, I had to make a decision because they're very different as far as what university courses you take and stuff. And so I made a decision to become a nurse. So I went through the training and became a nurse and loved the medical field. Absolutely loved it. In fact, I was actually contemplating going into medicine. And so for 10 years after I graduated from nursing, I just worked in that field, most of the time not as a Christian, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I never even saw myself leaving that field. And I became a Christian, and then when I went to work, it was like my mission field. I'd pray for the sick and see them recover and you know, spread the gospel to the workers that I worked with and, you know, had the opportunity to save lives. We actually saw the raising of the dead because I worked cardiovascular, so we had a lot of heart attacks, and you're just right there. You know, and it's like poof, you know, and so we saw, you know, people's lives preserved and stuff like that. So for me, my nursing career was my ministry. But then God called me to leave it to go preaching in pulpits full time, because I believe we're all in ministry. From the time that you're born again, you're a minister of the kingdom of God, you know, everywhere you go, in whatever you do. So you don't separate your life off like that. But he had called me apart to preach in pulpits, to be out on the mission field in different nations. And so I've had the privilege of serving on fields and planting works in the field. And so that was my life. Until I turned 50, and then God started moving in different things for me. Like, he called me into media. I hope that I have a chance to go into that before this session's out as well. But he also started showing me about the business anointing. And he said, really, Patricia, you know, you have stewarded this ministry for my kingdom. But he said, it's the same principles. What you followed me in, learning how to oversee a ministry with the integrity, with right accounting, with working with a vision, with implementation, with goal setting, with communication to your team, with plans of action, with all of that. It is exactly the same in the business world, because business leaders who are successful actually learn the principles from me, even though they don't know me. It was the principles that work, which were created by me. So he said, I want to teach you about business. And so I thought, okay, you know, that's great. And so I started prophesying the emergence of Christians coming into business, that they would be about their father's business and touch their sphere of influence in the business realm with the kingdom of God, by being people of integrity, by being people of faith, by walking with God for the different mandates, and using that realm of business anointing to bring light into places of darkness. And I just love that whole prophetic flow. But then around the same time as I'm prophesying that, God starts calling me into media. Now, I had never, ever desired to be in media. In fact, I had no grid for it. As a Christian minister, I went into full-time preaching ministry in 1980. And from that time, whenever I was invited to be in front of a camera on any, you know, particular program of any ministry, I couldn't wait for it to be finished. I would freeze in front of the camera, because I've always been like a hands-on people person. And so I like real flesh and blood, you know. I like real eyeballs. And, you know, when you're sitting in front of a lens, it's like, I don't know how to relate to that lens. I don't know how to connect. You know, I'm a feeler. You know, I can go into a room and feel the different things people are going through. If I sit in a conversation with you, I can feel, you know, what you're going through. I know how to respond back, because I can feel it, you know. But with that lens, I couldn't feel anything. It was just like dull. And so I didn't feel like myself. I just didn't like doing media, and I would only do it when the Lord said, you have to go do it, you know. Otherwise, if I had a choice, I'd say, no, pick somebody else, you know. So I didn't have much experience, but the experience I did have, I didn't like. But I was in a prayer time one year, and in the evening, I tried to find a television program to watch, you know. So I'm there flicking through the channels, and on this particular night, the Lord caused me, I really believe he orchestrated this, that every channel I flicked onto, it was all about false prophetic. There was like spirit mediums, tarot card readers, fortune tellers, every single channel that I flicked to. And I got angry. I thought, this is disgusting. You know, no matter what people flick onto tonight, all they get is this. And I thought, where is the true prophetic in the midst of the false? Where is the real stuff? And so I start, you know, because I was in a prayer time anyways, I was really motivated in prayer. I start making decrees, calling forth the media prophets. Oh, God, call forth the media prophets in the name of Jesus from the north and south, the east and the west. Speak to, you know, Kim Clement. Speak to Cindy Jacobs. Speak to James Gall, all those guys. Just speak to them and call them into media, media, media. Come on, let's have the true prophetic in the midst of the false, you know. And so I was praying up a storm. And then the Lord says, well, what about you? And I said, not me. That's obvious. And he said, what about you? And I said, like I said, not me. That's obvious. And I gave him all the reasons I could think of as to why I was the worst candidate for an assignment such as that. I didn't have any training. I froze in front of a camera. I didn't like the camera, you know. And I had one prophetic word. God loves you with an everlasting love, you know. And I thought, what am I going to be able to do? So I went back into prayer. Oh, God, I call in the prophets, the media prophets from the north, the south, the east, and the west, you know. And I was calling in, you know, Stacey Campbell and you know, Larry Randolph and different people. And he says, but what about you? So I again wrestled. Have you ever wrestled with a call of God? And I started crying out, and I said, God, I'm so small, and I'm so inadequate, and I have nothing to offer. But I've discovered that God plus nothing equals all you ever need, really. God plus nothing equals all you ever need. So he spoke to me a clear assignment, and he said, Patricia, I want you to do two programs on the prophetic that you can air on secular television. And I want you to do this and do it as a prophetic intercessory act and raise the standard. I want you to produce those programs in Hollywood, and I want you to air them in Vegas, another entertainment capital. I want you to go prophetically into the jugular of the entertainment industry and just take a stand. And as you do it, call forth the prophets. And so I thought, oh. I said, Lord, okay, if you give me someone to do it with me, I will do it. But if you don't, I wouldn't even know where to start. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what to do. And so I prayed, and within 2 weeks, I was actually at Bill Johnson's church serving in one of his conferences on the prophetic. And during a break time, a gal came up to me, and she came up with her friends. I found out later because she was too afraid to approach me on her own. And because sometimes people think that prophets know everything, you know. I said, did you see all my sin? I thought, I'm not looking for sin. Prophets look for Jesus, you know. But anyways... At least you're supposed to, if you are one. Whoa. So she came up to me and she said, you know, I feel a bit awkward because I hardly ever go to conferences. And I especially don't like bothering speakers during their breaks. But she says, the Lord actually told me to come and tell you who I am, what I do, and that I'm supposed to help you with something. And she said, my name is Shirley Ross. I have been a producer in Hollywood for 22 years, and I'm supposed to help you with something. So I said, you and I are going to go out for dinner tonight. So we went out for dinner. I shared with her what the Lord had done, and I said, would you be interested in helping? She said, sure, I would love to donate my time into this. And this was the beginning of a long-term relationship with Shirley Ross, and she's one of my best friends at this time and has been on our team. In fact, she had a successful production company in Hollywood, And she laid it all down to serve the Lord by faith. I had no money to offer her or anything. And she said, I will lay it all down because I feel God is calling me to do that. And I believe many people will lay down whatever they need to lay down for the purposes of God. And God has blessed Shirley Ross with all the dreams of her heart being fulfilled. I'm so happy for her. God is a good God. But you can never sacrifice without getting reward in return. He's just so amazing. But anyway, so we went into Hollywood, and I gathered prophets around me that I thought would, you know, be able to help, because I knew my own insufficiency. And, you know, every revelation that you produce, that revelation that night that I received from the Lord, produced a revolution in me. And every revolution will produce new relationships that you can partner with to increase the effectiveness of the vision that you receive. And so I looked around the body and some of the relationships I was already partnering with, and I thought, well, Larry Randolph would be a great prophet to have on media. And for those of you that don't know him, he is hilarious. You know, he is so funny. And when he gets on those rolls, I mean, he's just amazing. But he's also extremely accurate. And I had been in meetings with him where he was calling out people's names, addresses, phone numbers, you know, and giving them really accurate things like, you know, 3 months ago on such and such a date, the Lord did this, and now this is going to happen. And, you know, I thought, okay, that is going to cause someone who's clicking through the channels to stop and listen. Okay, Larry, will you come and help me? Yes, I will. Then I thought, Stacey Campbell, she's a given. Because she's like a little sign and wonder. And when the power comes on her, her little knee starts going, and then her head starts, whoa, you know. And it's like, I thought, people are going to be amazed at that. So I thought, if the Holy Ghost lands on her during the time of filming, we got it made. You know, like anyone clicking through the channel says, whoa, they're going to stop and watch that. And then And then Todd Bentley, he was a brand new minister of the gospel and so on fire. He'd just come back from Africa and had miracles, signs, and wonders. And, you know, he gets real words of knowledge and healings. I thought, well, if people get healed through the camera, this is going to be really amazing. And then Wesley Campbell also came. He's so animated. He just will say anything. So I thought, with all this boldness, I've got it made, you know. So Larry and I were going to be the co-hosts of this program, because I needed some help, you know, because I freeze up in front of a camera. So we decided to call the program Extreme Prophetic. That's how that name got going, because we were hoping it was going to be extreme enough for the lost, God's extreme love going out there to bring in the lost into his heart, to reveal his heart to them. And so we opened, the cameras came on, and we had a live audience. It was all intercessors. You know, we stacked the deck with intercessors because, you know, we couldn't do it on our own. And the camera goes on me, and Larry and I are supposed to open. I says, welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is. And then, you know, I turned it to Larry, and he froze the same as me. He froze the same as me. And so we just looked at each other and smiled and tried to keep things going. Oh, my gosh, I was terrified. I was just frozen, right? And I thought, Larry, you are a dud. You're supposed to be helping me, and you are making it very, very hard. Every time I threw to him, he would just nod and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh, where's the jokes? Where's the, you know. Then Stacy, the power of God comes upon Stacy, but we had a problem. Not that the power of God didn't come upon her. He did. He came upon her mightily. But in the makeup room before we started, the hairstylist decided to do her hair and put a little flip up in the bottom. So she had this little flip all around the outside, and then sprayed it with starch so it wouldn't move. And so I had it in my mind that the sign and wonder was going to be like when the power of God came on stage and our hair was going all over the place and that it was going to capture attention from the lost, you see. So anyways, the power of God comes mightily on Stacy, and her little knee starts going, and she's getting words of knowledge, and she goes like this, but her hair's not going anywhere. And it looked like she had cerebral palsy or something, you know. And then Todd, he jumps out of his seat and says, I got to tell you about this miracle that took place where this woman known as the one-breasted woman in the village during this service, God grows the breast. And he goes like that. I thought, this thing is going south fast. Okay. I was traumatized. I was traumatized. We all still laugh about those programs. Larry and I cry, but anyways, we ended up making the two programs, and we aired them in Vegas on Warner Brothers Network in the middle of the night in Vegas, because that was all we could afford was the middle of the night, but it works for Vegas, because they're up all night, you know. And we get our very first email off of the program, our very first one comes in, and it's from this guy who every second word in the email is a cuss word. So he says, dear XP team, blah, 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 beep, 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 you know. And he explains that he was ready to commit suicide with his beep, beep life because his beep, beep life, well, it wasn't worth a beep, beep, you know. But he said, you said, God loves me with an everlasting love. And he said, something happened. And he said, I'm alive today because of your beep beep program, and I want you to keep up the beep beep good work. So we had purposely aired that program strategically in Vegas 1 week before we actually went into Vegas to do a school of extreme prophetic and send people into the casinos, the bars, the streets, and everything. We had 300 students that we just launched out onto the streets, and Larry and Stacy were there with us, and Larry froze on the street just like he did in the he's amazing in the church. We all have to know our metron, right? So anyways, we're walking through the casino one day, and not to gamble, but to get to our room, because in Vegas they strategically place casinos everywhere. And so we're walking through, and this guy comes running up to Larry. He says, I know you. I'm the beep beep guy that had the beep beep problem. He says, I'm alive today. And he throws his arms around Larry. So I thought, praise God, we're finished this mandate, and it's fruitful. We got a beep beep letter. That's really good, you know. You know, even if it only touched that one person, it's good. And we'd made up DVDs to give out to the body to use as part of the prophetic mandate to call the body into media, because back then not many people were in media. And so I was so glad to be finished, but Shirley Ross, who produced the program, she said, Patricia, I got a word from the Lord that we're supposed to do a weekly television program. I said, get thee behind me, Satan, you know? I thought, number one, I'm already too busy. I can't do it. I'm not good at it. Did you see how I flopped on those programs? I'm absolutely embarrassed about it. I don't feel natural. I don't love it. No. So she came back the next day and she said, I'm really getting it from the Lord. She says, I'm getting it so strong, I'm willing to leave everything behind that I have in Hollywood to come and serve you in this. I said, well, I don't have any money to give you. I said, if you're coming, you've got to support yourself. She said, well, I am willing to learn to live by faith if you will teach me. And so I said, oh, my gosh. So I prayed about it carefully, and I got the confirmation. I didn't want the confirmation. I was expecting God to give me something else, but he gave me a confirmation. And when he does, if you just say yes, your yes is enough. Your yes is enough to bring everything to pass. So we didn't have money, but, I believe for a camera. So we had one camera. We had one microphone. And I bought a computer with a Final Cut Pro editing system on it. And that's what we had. And because Shirley had been a producer, she had never actually ever edited. And so she had to learn. I said, well, it should be easy to learn. Here's the book, you know. And so she took the book, and you know, a lot of times ministries are very gracious, and they'll give you 2 airfares if you're going to be speaking at a conference. So I don't usually take those because I like to be careful about the ministry funds. I usually just travel on my own. But for that year, I took Shirley Ross with a second airfare. And we would do with our one camera, we would interview prophets during the conferences and then stay up all night, sometimes till 2 and 3 in the morning, and edit on a very slow editing system where you had to render everything back in those days before you could finalize it. And so anyways, we would stay up in the middle of the night, and I learned to enjoy the creative aspect of media, because we started getting visited by the Spirit of God, and I thought, this is amazing. Back in those days, we actually produced our first television programs with one camera. And, you know, Shirley would go on one side of the room and say, okay, start sharing. And so I would share, and then she'd say, okay, stop. And then she would move the camera to the other side and take the rest of it, you know, then go back and forth. Every single paragraph, you know, every 3 minutes we're changing the shot, because we had to do 2 to 3 shot a program with one camera. So that's how we did it back in those days, because we didn't have any money to buy the other cameras and the switchers and everything that goes with it. For a lighting kit, we used my husband's trouble light from the garage. And for reflectors, we used tinfoil from the kitchen. This is not exaggerated. This is exactly how we did those first programs. And we just loved our little baby. We just loved our little baby. And you know, no matter how let's put it this way, no matter how much growth your baby needs to become secure, just celebrate how beautiful it is in its infancy, you know? Because if you looked at those early programs, and I would not dare to show them to you, you could find many, many ways to condemn it, the quality, the technical aspect, even the creative in it, my seasoning as a media prophet. Like, you would be able to find lots of fault, believe me. But when you look at a baby, you don't say, oh, my gosh, its ears are sticking out, or, oh, my gosh, you know, it hasn't got any hair, or, oh, my gosh, it smells like it's pooping its diaper or something, you know. You don't say that. You just say, oh, what a beautiful baby, right? What a beautiful baby. She is, by the way, she is a treasure. Oh, my gosh. I was watching her in worship and all. But our little baby, we just loved, and others didn't. We got rejections. Like, we just sent it out to different production companies or broadcasting companies, I should say, Christian broadcasters, and submitted our program, expecting them to just say, wow, yeah, we want your program. But we got all rejection letters back. And so all that work and, you know, rejection, 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 one after another. So Shirley was amazing. She wrote each one back. She said, I need you to tell me why it's rejected, you know. And she didn't get all of, oh, you know, you just don't appreciate the anointing. You don't appreciate this, and you don't know who I am. She just humbled herself, and she said, please tell us. So we got pages and pages of lists of what was wrong with it. And you need to get over being sensitive, you know. I don't know, like, the way I'm wired, I like everything black and white, you know? I mean, if I've got a problem and you see it, tell me, you know? Because if it's fixable, I can fix it, you know? But there's nothing more aggravating to me than everybody in the whole world knows about your problem except you. They've all discussed it and wondered how they can be sensitive enough to tell you and stuff like that. But you haven't had it addressed yet, right? And so, you know, I think we need to not only be free to give it in love, but also to receive it. So that when people give you input, it's not like, well, that's not what the Lord has shown me. No, you need to examine that, because it'll make you a better person. And, you know, some of the input we got was so, it was painful, because we did the very best with what we had, right? The very best with what we had. And the input we got back was difficult. But we went through every single item on the list and worked on it and said, well, we can improve this. We can't do a full improvement, but we can do some. And then the Lord gave us a word, and he said, you don't have to go to them. I'll send them to you. And so then we had a dear friend of ours up in Canada who owned a television network approached us, and he said, Patricia, I've heard that you have created media. I want to give you time on primetime for nothing. For nothing. They broadcast all across the nation. And I said, well, do you want to see it? You better see it first, because we've gotten, I just was honest, I said, we've gotten a lot of rejection letters because the quality is not that great. And he said, no, he says, I trust you. I trust your character. I trust your anointing. And even if it's the worst quality, I trust your heart in it. And I don't have to look at it. I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to give it to you. So that was our first door that opened, and God opened it. And, you know, when you humble yourself, and you take correction, and you work on it, and you don't lose your faith in the midst of it, and you don't get all offended because people don't like you or like what you have, but you learn from what is spoken to you, you will grow. And so over the years, we've gained favor with many networks. We haven't actually approached networks. They've approached us, and we've been able to get our media out there and the message of the gospel. So we were really excited about that. We also produced some little, you know, clips that we put up on our little website, you know, and it was okay. It wasn't that significant at first, but then I found myself at one point, I had got pneumonia, and so I had to cancel a couple of speaking engagements, and I was really bummed out over it. I'm lying in bed thinking, this is not right. I'm to be preaching the gospel. What am I doing in bed? I am so upset about this. And I said, God, you know, this is not right. You know, sickness doesn't belong to the kingdom, and it shouldn't belong to me, and, you know, help me. And all of a sudden, an idea came to me that I believe was spirit-inspired. And I had this idea to get up into my kitchen, just put a T-shirt on or something, put some lipstick on, you know, ruffle my hair a little bit, and have Shirley come and film me with some messages. Because I thought, I can't go out there and preach, but I can maybe sit and have a coffee in my kitchen and do it. So she set up the lights, got me ready. I was still in my pajama bottoms. And I sat there with a cup of coffee in front of the camera, and I preached my little heart out. I did three 12 to 15 minute segments. And then I got really weak. I couldn't do anymore. I went back to bed. And she posted those three segments on our website, and the three of them over the next couple of days got over 7,000 views. And I looked at that and I thought, oh my gosh, the events that I was going to share at, they only had like 150 to 350 people each in them, and I reached more thousands through media. So I said, Shirley, let's just make this a normal part of our ministry. Let's do them every week, a few times a week even. Let's, you know, if we can post new ones every day, that would be awesome, you know? And so we did. And I had a blast doing it. God would give the downloads, and we just do it. We put it out there. It was so much fun. And then we thought, hey, just a minute. We're getting so much activity on this. Why don't we help our friends in ministry? Why don't we help them produce their media and get it out there? And so God gave us a download to birth a media network called xpmedia.com. How many of you have never been on xpmedia.com? Put up your hands. Well, I want to encourage you to get on the network, xpmedia.com. And we have over 170 ministries represented on that network now. Just started out with a few, but now we've got numerous channels. In fact, James Gall has channels on that network. Che On has a channel on that network, and many other people that you would know, and a lot of people that you don't know. And that's the beauty of it, is that we can all come together, credible ministries together, sharing the gospel, sharing the message that God has given us, and together in Jesus, as James says, we make a great media team, you know, where we can reach the nations worldwide. And so the setup of the company was going to be a lot of money, and our ministry was engaged in all kinds of other mandates at the time, and we were believing for big budgets to fulfill those mandates back there. And so as we were seeking the Lord about it, he said, you know, I want you to be about your Father's business, and I want you to set this up as a business, not a nonprofit ministry, but a for-profit business, because it'll give you some extra flexibility as to the releasing of the gospel. And so Ron and I and Shirley put our personal money on the table, and we called together some friends of ours who also had some money available and cast the vision to them. And I said, you know, we are going to follow the Father's mandate to set up this business, and we're looking for kingdom investors. And I said, you know, it might be that we don't get any money back from it. I'm not going to promise anything, because the investment we're making is not primarily a financial investment. The investment we're making is an investment into the spreading of the gospel while it is yet day, that we can spread the gospel to the nations. And so the ultimate reward is going to be the eternal reward. And I had had a vision, a trance vision back in 1980, where I was down under the power of God. And the Lord took me into this vision. And part of the vision was that I was running up to a altar, up some golden stairways, and there was this consuming fire there. And I put my baton in the fire, and it was this blazing fire. And I heard this voice, an audible voice, say, "Run with the vision." And I knew that the light was the glory of God. It was Jesus Christ who is the light in us that lights up every man. And so the voice said, "Run with the vision." And so I started running down the golden stairways. And when I started running, it was as though my feet were bound to the path that was beneath me, with the Holy Spirit propelling their every movement. And I didn't grow weary or tired. I just knew that all I had to do was hold the torch up. That's all I had to do. It was that easy. And I saw on each side of the pathway, it was all very, very dark. I just was running into complete darkness, holding up the light. And all I could see was little eyeballs out of each side. Eyeballs is a media term. Just remember that. I saw all these little eyeballs out the side of the darkness as I'm just running, just effortlessly running with his torch held up. And all of a sudden, in the distance, the heaven starts rolling back, and it was like this blue sky with this golden roadway going up into heaven, and a multitude of voices yelling out of heaven, "Here they come! Here they come!" And I thought, "Here they come? Who's coming?" And I looked behind, and everywhere that flame had gone, everywhere, there was a collection of men, women, children, all in ethnic garments, and that showing me that the nations were coming in, and heaven was elated, and I started to just be so filled with the joy of the Lord. Every part of my being was filled with the joy of the Lord. And so when I received this media call, I realized that eyeballs, you know, we talk about how many eyeballs hit the site today, you know, literally eyeballs, is that media is going in through the nations preaching the gospel. I just was in Dubai last, or maybe it was earlier this year, I was in Dubai, and this young apostolic leader invited me out for breakfast because he heard I was in town, and he said, "Patricia, I want to thank you for XP Media. I want to thank you for XP Media. Let me tell you the story." He says, "I was a young Christian. I'd been a Muslim, and I was converted to Christianity, and I was a hungry young Muslim, or a young believer, a young convert." And he said, "Someone introduced me as a young Christian to XP Media." And he says, "When I went on there, I was just like day and night, day and night, day and night. Couldn't get off of it. I was being fed through all the media, through all the different ministries that were on there." And he said, "And I met people like Bill Johnson on there." And he said, "Now Bill Johnson is my apostolic father. And he got connected with Bethel and everything." And he said, "I just want to thank you, because through you," he says, "even now," he says, "I've led over, I think, I hope I got these numbers right, 17,000 Muslims to the Lord." And he says, "I have a whole network of churches that I pastor." And he says, "To this day, xpmedia.com feeds my church leaders in a Muslim nation." So then I was so touched. I thought, you know, Lord, even if it was for that one person, reaching that one person with the media, it's worth it. But then when I got home, I received an email from a young man who was living in Saudi Arabia. He was originally from the Philippines. And he was suicidal. He was working in Saudi Arabia. He was suicidal. He was under so much oppression and depression. Someone led him to the Lord. The same day he got led to the Lord, he was introduced to xpmedia.com. And he said he just watched it day in and day out. And on there he found ministries like James Galls, like Barbie Breathitt, like Bill Johnson, different people. And he said, I just devoured all of it. And in fact, he said that he actually contacted these ministries, loaded up on all the resources. He said, I've got a whole store in my apartment of Christian material. And he says, I'm an on fire evangelist. I can't keep my mouth shut. I'm leading all my Muslim friends to the Lord and giving them out of these resources. And it was because of media. Media. Media, 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 media. And God is raising up a media army in this day. And so we just kept kind of growing the network, and these wonderful investors helped us get started, and we actually monetized the site in three ways. The investment money goes into programming. It's very expensive. Media is extremely expensive. But we monetize through channel host fees, which is a minimal fee. On television, you could spend, like $20,000 a month easily on just airtime alone, let alone production. And on media, on the internet, you can, pay very, very little per month, and get way big results. You can feed the nations. You can disciple the nations through your media. And television trends are going down as far as viewership, and internet is going up. And it'll be only just a few years, probably 3 to 5 years, when the internet actually will be watched more. And all the televisions that are being made now are doing with the adapters to actually feed your internet playlists and that right into your television screen. So that's already happening. So, church, we need to be on the cutting edge of this. We need to be on the cutting edge. Another way we monetize is through advertising, and we advertise Christian businesses, Christian events, and values-based resource and things like that, so that we can use advertisement to promote other ministries, their resources, Christian businesses. It's just win-win. It's just wheels within wheels that keep propagating the advancement of the kingdom of God. And we're just privileged to do that. And now I want to tell you about this, because we have a subscription base right now that anyone can go on our site and watch the videos and audios and read the articles for free. The poor have access to really good food. But then we've offered a subscription. I'd like to invite you all to get one for $47.88 a year. It works out to $3.99 a month. It's next to nothing. But it works like a donation for media. Because what we do with the top 10% of that is that we give it to children at risk around the world. And Che was touching on that this morning, social entrepreneurship. And so we're engaging in that. And then the other, another $20 of that is set apart for our Go team, which God gave us a download on raising up an army of media evangelists. So what the Go team is you just sign up as a Go team member on our site on xpmedia.com. You find all the videos that you like, post them on your Facebook or on your internet, and you put your Go team ID onto it. If people click onto our site through your ID and ever, for the life of that person, sign up for a subscription at $47.88, you get $10. And if they lead someone to sign up for a subscription, you get another $10. So what we're able to do is fund media evangelists, because how else are they going to get funded, And so we're able, it's just win-win. People give almost like a donation into media advancement through their subscription. For that subscription, they get to watch free webcasts, free webinars, discounts on resources. It's just win-win for everyone as we raise the water level of this whole thing and get media out worldwide. And we have channel hosts from all different nations. Catherine's coming on board. You guys are coming on board. We have lots of Aussie ministries that are going to have channels, and we're just going to do this together. We're going to fill the earth. And you see, if every channel host gets their links out to their demographic, who sends it out to others, who sends it out to others, who sends it out to others, we'll see more of those apostolic leaders raised up, like what I told you about in Dubai and in Saudi Arabia. They're all over the world. They're just waiting to be reached. So why don't we do it through our Father's business and do it together? We'll do it together. Lindley's are getting a channel. Amen. And we're just going to shout from the rooftops the gospel. We're going to help each other spread the gospel. We're going to do it together. There's no competition. We're just making a way for everyone that can do it to do it. Now, every media portal, some people are saying, well, I'm on a different media portal. I'm on YouTube or I'm on GodTube or whatever. That's great. We're on all of them because more distribution is better. It's all better. You know, the reason why Joyce Meyer's message has gone out so far is because she's on every network conceivable. You know, same with Joel Osteen. Why are they so well known? Why is their message getting out there? It's because they're on every portal they can find. Now, on television, you're talking about really big bucks. But on the internet, it's not. And let's support Christian networks. And not just like one. In fact, we built a platform. Over $200,000 of just programming alone has already gone into it. We want to share the platform with others, too, so that we can raise up other networks. We don't want to be just a sole network. In fact, if everyone else did it and we stepped out, that's fine with me, as long as the gospel can be advanced. And so let's together do this. And we are doing it under a business model, but we have discovered that you can reach the nations through a business model. You can reach the nations, but any way you can spread the gospel, spread it. There are many of you in this room today that you are called into media. In fact, I was watching during worship, was it your children, the three little boys? Three little boys during worship. They're on their iPods, you know, and they're just going for it. This generation is full of media. They were born with media vibes inside of them. They have media frequencies living on the inside of them. My 18-month-old granddaughter, when she was 18-month-old, took my iPhone. It was locked, for goodness sake. She figured out how to get through the lock at 18 months old. I needed training myself to get through that lock. But she just picks it up and gets through the lock, and she's on YouTube in no time at all. Well, that's dangerous for children just to go on YouTube. One of our goals as a media network, once we get the financing for it, we're going to create a kids network that is absolutely safe, full of kingdom values, full of the Word of God, and that you can have your children go on, and it's not going to be invaded with all the other stuff that's on there as well. I tell you, the opportunities we have in this hour are amazing. And this next generation is a media generation. So we, the church, have to be on the cutting edge. We can't just be playing catch-up 20 years from now, because if we do the trends that we've been walking in by playing catch-up 20 years later, we're going to miss the boat because the technology is changing so quickly. I mean, Facebook's only been out for how many years? 5 or something, 6 years, not very long, and look where it's gone, you know? And so we're going to be on the cutting edge. We're going to create. We're going to preach. We're going to prophesy. We're going to reveal testimony. We're going to get people healed through the internet. We all the time get testimony saying, I was the one. I was the one that got the word. You know, when you had the word of knowledge about the migraine headache, I was the one that got healed. I hear that all the time. I was the one that got healed from depression. My family's saved today because of the ministry over the internet. So let's just preach our little hearts out. Let's prophesy. Let's give the words of knowledge. Let's get it out there as much as we can. We're even doing all the teleseminars and webinars and using media as much as we can. You can just start with something. Every single one of you can do something in media. Every single one of you. Just even going on your favorite website, getting your favorite Christian video and posting it on your Facebook. At least do that. But join the Go team first, because if you do it on a network, you can... You know, you can get monetized for it as well. Or you can do it for free. That's fine, too. But if you want to get monetized, you can. And that's okay. A workman is worthy of his hire. Amen? That's okay. It's okay to prosper, Australia. Hey! I don't have time. Maybe tonight I'll share a little bit more about how you can win nations. We've been able to go into a poverty-stricken region and literally plant businesses in that region, just little micro businesses that are changing the level, the economic level in a whole city. It's actually having a domino effect just by starting a few little businesses. I'm just going to share this one more and then I'm going to pray. I think I have time to finish this testimony. We had the Lord told me to go to a particular hairstylist in my city, few years back. But I already had a hairstylist in that particular hair salon, so I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be uncomfortable. But then she just gave me her notice. She said, you know, I'm going to be away for 6 months. I'm so sorry. I won't be able to do your hair. And I thought, oh, that's too bad. But, you know, God's got a plan. So anyways, this gentleman that God directed me to was living in a gay lifestyle. And he was very, very open about it, you know. And he knew that I was a Christian because I'd been in the salon before and I would talk about Jesus and, you know, and he was aggravated by that in his spirit. I think it was a demon spirit actually that was manifesting. But when I went to make an appointment with him, he sat me down and started telling me the details of his gay lifestyle. And so I didn't react because God said, just love him and become his friend. Just love him. Jesus is a friend of the sinner and the streets are full of his friends. And so I just, you know, I just sat there and listened, and inside I said, just get him with your love, Lord, just get him with your love. But anyways, he finished doing my hair, and I thanked him for it, and I gave him a $100 tip. And all of a sudden, his attitude changed about, it just changed. He was just blown away. He says, are you sure? Do you realize what you just got? I said, I totally realize that. He said, well, thank you. And he went around and told everyone in the salon about it. So the next time I came in, He was, come here, sit down, you know. Would you like a coffee? Would you like some fresh water? What can I do for you, you know? And so we became friends, and I asked him, I said, you know, have you ever had a desire at all to do hairstyles for media, like for television programs? And he said, well, I would love to do that. I would love to do that. Are you kidding? You know, and I said, well, I happen to be a television producer. I have a studio in town. And I said, I would like to have you come in and do our, well, I call them celebrities' hair. I said, I'd like to have you do our celebrities' hair. And he says, well, what kind of television program is this? I said, well, it's actually a Christian program where we have miracle workers, prophets who are famous all over the world coming in. And then it gets broadcast all over the world through God TV and other networks. And I said, what we will actually do is even put your name on the credit roll. He said, you're kidding. And I said, the only thing is, I mean, it's, you know, it's a very difficult job because you'll have to be there all day. You'll have to sit in the studio because during the break, if a hair goes out of place, because the cameras are very unforgiving, so if the hair goes out of place, you have to go and fix it. And he says, no problem. I'll just book myself off. No problem. I would love to do that for you. So we had actually never had a hairstylist before. We had just done it ourselves because who cares, right? The only thing I cared about was that he sat and heard the gospel all day. So we would have you know, prophets like James Gall, like Che On, like, you know, Heidi Baker, Stacey Campbell. You know, we'd have all these different prophets coming in. Todd White, you know, Joshua Mills. He'd never seen anything like it. So I told all of our crew, I said, now listen, you know, obviously he's not saved yet, and he seems to like to tell everyone that he's gay. Just ignore him. And just look at him as if he's already saved and just treat him. Don't preach at him. Don't preach at him. Just love him like you would a Christian brother or sister. I told all our guests that too. And so everyone knows that we've got Gregory, my dear Gregory, as a love project from God. It's just beautiful. And so he would sit through and he said after the first day of filming, he said, I have never felt love like this in my whole life. What is it that you guys eat? You know? And blood and body? No. And I said, yeah. I said, we just love you too, Gregory. We just love you. We're so grateful you did such a great job on our hair. And you know, some of our guests, they didn't even have any hair, but we made them do it, you know? And so he would sit in the meetings and he would hear the prophets prophesy, and Stacey Campbell, the Spirit of God came on her, and she's going like this, and he's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to fix her hair, you know? And she's saying, I have a word for you, the hair person, come here, I have a word for you. And he's like, ooh, you know, and she's like, ah, you know, and she starts prophesying that he's going to go to the mission field and care for little orphan children and stuff like that. And he starts weeping, and he says, I've always had a heart for the, you know, children. And so now he's actually been to Cambodia with us, with the children, and, you know. But and then we had Todd White come in, and Todd White is growing out legs. One leg shorter than another. And I say, hey, Gregory, do you have a back problem? And he says, well, yeah, you know, actually I do, but it's from my hair styling. And I said, sit down, let's check out your legs. And so Todd checks the legs out, and he grows great. He says, oh, my gosh, you can feel it, you know. And so he's just having experience after experience. And, you know, and so every time we would do a filming, we would invite Gregory to come in and do the hair. So we just treated him like a friend. We didn't preach at him. But one day I'm in getting my hair done, and it was time for me to get my bleach job done. And so it takes a nice long time to do that. And he starts asking me questions that demanded a long answer. And he said, how did you come to know Jesus like you do? And so I started telling him the story. And he says, oh, my gosh. He said, I got goosebumps. Oh, my gosh, you know. And he said, I had a visitation when I was a little boy, like an out-of-body experience. And I totally forgot about it until now, but now I'm remembering it. And he said, you know, the voice told me, he says, when your mother dies and goes to be in heaven, he said, you're going to fulfill what you were made for. And he says, I'm going to bring a person into your life to bring that about. And so as a little boy, he asked the voice, well, how will I know who he is? And the voice said, I didn't say it was a he. And he says, well, how will I know who she is? And the voice said, you'll know her by her hair. And he says to me as I'm sitting there getting my hair done, he says, you're the one that the voice said, you're the one, you know. And at that moment, I knew faith had entered him. But the Lord said, do not pray yet. Do not talk to him. Do not pray for him yet. And so I left there that day, and the next time we were filming, we had Cheon in with us, actually. And he's sharing one of the programs about friendship evangelism and how he won his neighbor to the Lord by just loving her to life. The whole family just loved her to life, and, you know, and she came into the kingdom just by acts of kindness. So during the break, I said to Gregory, that's how you came to know the Lord too, right? And he said, exactly, that's how I came to know the Lord. I says, and how long ago was that? He said, oh, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks. It was that day in the chair where faith had entered him. So that was his confession. But then we found out that the desire of his heart had always been that he would be able to have his own hairstyling shop, his own salon. But because of his financial management, he hadn't been able to do that. So Sally and I got together and said, let's just give him the dream of his heart. And so we went to him and said, you know, Gregory, we're going to give you the desires of your heart because your daddy loves you and he wants to give you a business. And so we are going to buy the business. We will manage the money. But you can manage the shop and it can be your own. He was just in tears. I said, it's because your daddy loves you. Because your daddy loves you. So we started this hair salon called La Vida Hair. And it became a portal for evangelism because he's a brand new Christian. He doesn't know the difference between a Mormon and a Christian. And so the Mormons start coming in to get their hair done, and he tells them all about how Jesus touched his life and how, you know, and the salon gives the money to the poor children over in Cambodia. And he's got the Mormon lady weeping, saying, I'll give you some money into the children. So we got the Mormons giving money into the Christian mission. And she said, I love what you did to my hair so much, and I love the feeling in this place. It's such a nice feeling that I'm going to put your hair salon in the Mormon bulletin so everybody will come. So now we've got the Mormons coming in. Those are people that would never come into a church. They would never come into a church meeting. But they came into a hair salon, the Father's business. And I tell you, that hair salon is prospering like you wouldn't believe. And Gregory has been discipled. He cut off all his relationships, past life and everything, and is serving Jesus in the most beautiful way. And he is getting blessed financially more than he's ever been blessed in his entire life. People are getting touched by God every single day about the Father's business. Father's business! About the Father's business! I have 1 minute left, and so I'm going to pray for you. Because inside of you, there's seeds to be incubated. There are ideas inside of you that you maybe have never even thought of before. There are things that you are carrying within you that are going to come into full birth and win nations for Jesus Christ. One little tiny idea can save a nation. And you're full of seed of creativity and blessing. I'm going to pray for a media anointing on you because I believe that every Christian should do something with media. And don't say you're too old. Don't say you're too old, or I will slap you with a holy slap. You know, you just got to learn. Get over it and learn. Even if it's just one thing, just learn how to do one thing and it'll grow, believe me. You know? Or hire someone to do it. That works too. But I want to pray for the media anointing and the business anointing. If you desire that, stand to your feet and reach your hands up to the Lord. Just like a child would receive from their daddy, just reach up and receive. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I loose this media anointing on your people. Some in front of the camera, some behind the camera, some in editing suites, some on social media, all different forms of media and print media. We bless the media army that is arising in this hour to shine and bring the light and the glory of God to the nations. And Lord, I loose business anointings accompanied by prosperity in the name of Jesus, that we'll fill the earth as we're about our Father's business. Father, loose the business anointing on your people now in Jesus' name. You know, I lead 3 ministries and 7 businesses, and everything is flourishing for the advancement of the kingdom. Everything is flourishing. And so I speak that fruitfulness over you in the name of Jesus. I never had a desire to do media or business or anything. I never had a desire for it. But the Father loves these realms so much that He will even call those who don't think they can do it. And He'll especially call those who don't think they can do it. And so, no matter how small or insignificant or unlearned you may feel, you are a candidate for the blessing of God. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Amen.
Praise God.